out. Oh, baby, what a play.
This is Jeff Fedone with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I preview Eagles at Chiefs. Joe, this is maybe the game of the year. Super Bowl rematch. It's the Kelce Bowl. There's the Kelce and Swift on one side. It's Andy Reid versus old team. It's the teams with the two best records in their respective conferences. Joe, where do we go from here? How do we break this down?
I mean, well, we have to also, you know, talk about, you know, Taylor Swift possibly changing her allegiances here, that she's changing her songs to include the word Chiefs, even though she grew up in Philadelphia. There's a lot of drama around this game, Jeff, and I have to say, if there's a script in the NFL definitely did the right thing by creating this game and how it's all led to this point, right? As far as the 8-1 Eagles, the 7-2 Chiefs, Super Bowl rematch, all the drama around it. They're both coming off huge games, right? I mean, that was a huge win for the Chiefs in Germany against the Dolphins. The Tyreek Hill, you know, drama. You have the Eagles beating their nemesis, the Cowboys, in a division game, in a barn burner. I don't know. This is setting up for it could be the most watched game, regular season game in a long time when people tune in on Monday night to catch this one.
You know, you said that on our last pod, and I kind of had more time to ruminate it. Maybe I was also a little less jet lagged, could process things a little bit more after the Germany trip. And Joe, you might be right. You know, it seems like each year, you know, the NFL sets records. I mean, the Chiefs Germany game set records for the most watched international game. Joe, you might be onto something. I mean, this could be the most watched regular season game. You know, at least in maybe ESPN Monday night football history, but yeah, I mean, given where the teams are at, given all these subplots here.
Yeah, I mean, and Jeff, you know, the thing about this game that's, you know, super interesting is, you know, the NFL set this one up because this game technically isn't really supposed to be happening because the Chiefs are not on an NFC East schedule. And the Eagles are not on an AFC West schedule, right? That happens every so many years, and they're making an exception for this game. Now, whether or not they've got some rule in now that they can do whatever they want with that 17th game, but, you know, this game really shouldn't be happening in reality, right? If you go back old school scheduling and the way the NFL has always historically and traditionally done it, that's another, I think, piece of the drama that adds to this, right? I mean, after that Super Bowl, with the connections and everything that these two teams have both in common and all the fan bases and everything that goes around it, like, they must have just said, hey, why not? Let's, even if we're breaking tradition, let's make this game happen. We got 17 games. Let's add this one in and break that traditional, you know, play the certain divisions every 4 years. I mean, I kind of like it. I like the flexibility of it.
I like it too. And we, you know, you talk about kind of the game of the year, and we have some fun ones coming up. The Eagles will play the Niners. The Chiefs will play the Bengals and Bills, two of their playoff, you know, kind of frequent foes. But this, I think, is as big as any. Joe, and it's also a little bit, we joke, it's a little bit the Joe Valerio Bowl. I mean, you're in Philly. You grew up there. You know the team. And of course, you played for the Chiefs. So I want to kind of lean into your expertise. One question that I have, Jalen Hurts hasn't looked, he was amazing. I thought he was the best player in that Super Bowl, and he was going to kind of build off that. He hasn't. Joe, how banged up is he, and how much of a factor is that to why he maybe hasn't played like I thought he would this year?
Well, I think well, let's take the objective view on that before we touch on Jalen's. You know, Jalen is actually outstatting Patrick Mahomes right now when you look at them side by side.
True, yeah.
So who would have thought that, right? Who would have thought that, right? Everybody thought, you know, coming out of this offseason, you know, with what the Chiefs were going to do and to make some improvements here and there, that you know, Patrick wasn't going to have another great season. And he is. And I think we got to give Jalen Hurts a little bit of credit that he's having – just as good of a season. He's actually, his rating is better. I think his completion percentage might be better. I've seen some side by sides. Now, Jalen Hurts has something that I think the Chiefs don't have, and that is a player like AJ Brown. Now, granted, we have our sort of version of that with Travis Kelce, but Travis is still a tight end. You know, and he's still a tight end. He has a tight end body. He's not going to have the receiving wide receiver skills that an AJ Brown is going to have, just from, you know, just being totally objective. Now, is Travis as effective? Yeah, he can be just as effective because Andy Reid knows how to use him. But I just keep saying, so I watch a lot of Eagles, watch a lot of Chiefs. I always say to myself, every time I watch the Eagles play, I'm like, if Patrick Mahomes had AJ Brown, I think they could have had a shot at going 17. No, I'm serious. Good. I'm just not being, you know, Pollyanna about this. Like, they've solidified the offensive line. I think the tackles, they've gotten past all the jumping offside stuff and everything. I think Isaiah Pacheco has filled a need. He's really, really come into his own. And I just have a feeling that if they had an AJ Brown to complement Travis Kelce and the other great receivers that they do have, I think they could have, and the way this defense is playing, mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs could have gone undefeated.
You know, and to your point, Joe, I'm looking at the stats right now. You're right on that. Like, Jalen Hurts actually has a better, first of all, their stats are really similar. Hurts actually has a better completion percentage, but real close, 68.9 to 68.6. Their yards are very close. Mahomes, they both has 2,442, 2,347 for Hurts, but Hurts has a higher yards per pass. And also their touchdown to interception, real close. 17-8 touchdown to interception ratio for Mahomes, 15-8 for Hurts. So maybe maybe what I said wasn't, I think you put it in much better perspective. Still, though, we saw that big shot that Jalen Hurts took last game. I think it looks like his leg is bothering me. Well, you know the team better than I and see even more of the Eagles. Curious what you think, how healthy do you think he is, and how much of a factor do you think that will be for this game?
Well, I think it's a big factor, Jeff. And I think, you know, Jalen Hurts is – he's not a running quarterback, right? He's not somebody – he does obviously make things happen with his legs, and he can get outside the pocket, and he can do all those things that you know, that make him very effective. And I think – but, he's definitely a player that, you know, he makes things happen, but he's – you know, he is turning into a quarterback. And I think that's something that the Eagles coaches wanted him to do. Like, they wanted to turn him into a quarterback. And I think having AJ Brown has sort of done that and helped him along with that path. I think if he felt a little bit more pressure to try to win the game with his feet, I think he'd probably not be progressing as well as he is. Having Swift, right, is another, you know, bringing
DeAndre, not Taylor. Let's clarify. Yeah,
of course, not Taylor. DeAndre Swift has really brought another level of confidence in that he can hand the ball off when he gets into the RPO situation and he gets into the QB option situation. He doesn't have a problem handing the ball off right now. So I think it's helping him. But, Jeff, just like you said, I think the one thing that is holding him back a little bit, I do think he is a little banged up. Mm. I think, you know, he is a physical player. He, you know, he does that tush-push, brotherly shove. Like, he gets out. He doesn't slide a lot. He does run, you know, some QB option stuff, some sprint option, things like that. I think there's something going on there that it might be slowing him down just a tad.
And we're going to get back to this matchup, of course. But first, the last of the major pro sports leagues is off and rolling, and college basketball is ready to go as well. BetOnline remains your top spot for all your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. All the hoops, betting action, along with every sport available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Joe, I love what you said about DeAndre Swift. That, I mean, I think that's an area where the Eagles have gotten even better. I think, you know, we're seeing Miles Sanders and with the Panthers has kind of struggled. I think the running game is even better with the addition of yet another Georgia Bulldog. But before we get into kind of the weeds of the matchup, which we will, I'm curious, Joe, if you think, you know, do the Eagles have any kind of edge or maybe a more of a motivation going into this, you know, wanting to get kind of revenge for the Super Bowl loss? Or you think, no, that's a Super Bowl, this is a regular season game, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as far as added motivation.
Yeah. I'm gonna tear a page out of your playbook, Jeff, because this is something that you brought up to me on one of our pods. You always talk about the team that can't afford to lose has a lot more at stake. And I think in this particular situation with this game, the way that things are sort of shaking out in both the conferences, even though there was some slight trip ups there this weekend, you know, with the Ravens and the Bengals, and the Bills have been struggling a little bit, you know, the Chiefs having beat the Dolphins. Like, I still think at 7-2, I still think the Chiefs have a lot more to lose than the Eagles do at 8-1. Even though there's a lot of people breathing down the Eagles' neck, and the Eagles do have a pretty meaty part of their schedule coming up too. I mean, the Eagles still, you know, they still have to play Kansas City right after that. 5 days later or 6 days later, because, you know, we're playing on Monday night. They've got Buffalo on Sunday at Buffalo. So they got a that's at home. Then San Francisco's coming into town after that. Then they've got their big division rival, Dallas, who they've always battled with. That's four really tough games.
Yeah.
However, you know, I think with Buffalo's struggles, I think with you know, San Francisco, you know, having more losses than the Eagles do, obviously, I personally feel like the Chiefs have more to lose. I don't know. They just don't have that one game breathing room that is, you know, giving them, you know, that little bit of extra comfort to know, especially with their meaty part of the schedule coming up, right? They got the Eagles game, and then they've got Buffalo, and then they've got Cincinnati built in there. And then they've got to finish the season with the Chargers, who, you know, they have their ups and downs. So I think the Chiefs have more to lose by not winning this game. That's my opinion.
Good stuff there, Joe. Joe, and we've also got to talk about, you know, of course, this is the Kelce Bowl. We've got to talk about the Kelces. I also want to talk about how they spent their bye week. You know, I was texting you about this because I was watching the Thursday night football broadcast where Jason Kelce was on the part of the Amazon crew and also came in the booth. Joe, he was so good. Like, these guys are both bound for successful media careers after their NFL career is over. But, you know, the main booth is Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels for Thursday night football. Al Michaels is, of course, maybe the best play-by-play guy of all time, though he's, you know, he's obviously older. I don't think he's quite as good as he used to be. And I really like Herbstreit on college football. I don't think he's been great on the NFL games. I don't think they've had this great chemistry. And I thought Jason Kelce stepped in there. I thought he was the best broadcaster just out of the gate like that for his kind of guest appearance.
Yeah, he's super smart and he knows football and he's incredibly well spoken. He's definitely destined. I mean, he's, you know, and I think anytime, proud to be a lineman, you know, anytime you can get a lineman's perspective too, who also knows the game, I think it just adds a little something, right? You're not, I don't know. It just feels like good linemen or good lineman broadcasters, I should say, or broadcasters who were linemen, I think they bring a more relatable perspective to the game. It feels like they're talking with you about the game and they're not talking at you about the game. And I'm not being critical of quarterbacks and their going on to, you know, there's some great quarterbacks who are great color commentators and great play-by-play guys. Tony Romo is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. He's somebody who talks to fans, and listeners and watchers and viewers. He doesn't talk at them. But, you know, I think, you know, you have to be careful with that when you've played a position like quarterback where you were the commander, right, where you were the field general. And I think you get a lineman's perspective in there and somebody who really knows the game of football. all aspects of it the way that seems like Jason Kelce does, obviously just from his brief stint there and in any interview or his podcast or anytime you hear him talk, I think he would be fantastic. And he's definitely somebody I would tune into and specifically to listen to him call the game and to hear what his perspective is.
To your point, this is a little bit of a digression, Joe, but kind of interesting. I always, whenever I'm in an NFL locker room after the game, I always seek out offensive linemen because I think they're better for several reasons. One, you know, sometimes the skill players, usually the skill players, there's more of a line, there's more of a media horse, so you can get like one-on-one time. But I think by and large, stereotypically, like the offensive linemen are kind of almost smarter. They have to know everything that's going on the whole play rather than just, you know, running back just needs to know which hole or wide receiver just really needs to know the route, that they have a really good understanding of everything that's going on football wise. And that's, and I think Travis seemed to bring that to the broadcast. Excuse me.
Yeah.
James, we'll talk about Travis. Jason.
Yeah, we'll talk about Travis. Well, you know, Jeff, it's the only position on the field that requires that much teamwork too.
Right.
Yeah. Five guys have to work as one. Really, literally, from tackle to tackle, those five guys have to work as one, and then you throw a tight end in there too. But, you know, I think, Jeff, you have to remember that, you know, every time you go over and you talk to one of those linemen, you know that you cause them to have a fine on their fine board. Yeah. And whether it's, you know, with inflation, it might be closer to $10 or $15. But, you know, we used to get fined $5 every time we were caught talking to the media. So
do you think that's still that's hilarious, Joe? Great point. You think that still exists, or this – era of like social media and stuff? That'd be interesting to find out if there still is the kangaroo court type of deals for these
I can't imagine how much the fines would be for the way social media is used today. I mean, you wouldn't be able to do a tweet or anything without getting fined. The parties must be huge if they're still keeping that kangaroo court because of all of the ways that you can get in the media. I mean, Travis Kelce alone with what's going on with Taylor Swift would be funding karaoke parties and year-end parties just himself. So, but linemen are, you're right though, but just to put a cap on it, you know, it is, I've always felt, not just because I am one, but I just felt like we always had a little bit of a different perspective on the game.
I so agree. And you mentioned Travis, I also mentioned him, but on accident, I met Jason. While his brother Jason spent the bye week, you know, polishing his broadcasting resume, Travis spent it in Argentina with Taylor Swift for her. Joe, any chance, you know, the Chiefs have this big Germany game, a lot of travel, big jet lag, and then he spends a bye week going to Argentina, more travel. Any concern that this is, you know, the bye week is for resting and recovering, that any concern that this could be a distraction or this could be more difficult, make things more difficult for Travis?
Yeah, I mean, you can always look at that. And if he plays really well, they'll say, no, it wasn't a big deal. If he looks sluggish out there and doesn't have a great stat day or drops a ball or two, people are going to say, well, he shouldn't have traveled. So he's in a no-win situation at this point, which I don't envy. But, you know, I always, you know, we always found a way under the Marty Schottenheimer era to do something during the bye week to be able to reconnect with family. And a lot of times, you know, that means getting on a plane. I mean, you just have to do it, right? It's impossible for every player and all their families to live in the city that they play in. So, you know, it was always a trip back to Philadelphia for me during the bye week if Coach Schottenheimer gave us more than 2 or 3 days off just to get reconnected, right, with your family, to get back to your roots and to get back to the places that you're comfortable with and that you knew and where you grew up and all those good things, to see friends and family in mass. You know, I used to see a lot of family during the season, but it was onesies, twosies. You know, I'd pop in my parents would come out for a game. My brothers would come out for a game. It was always onesies, twosies. But like, you know, you go home for a bye week and, you know, you're having the big, we have the big Italian dinners at my Aunt Rita's house and I'm seeing all my cousins. And, you know, I think that's very recharging for players. And I think Travis is one of those players that he gets recharged by being in the scene and being in the action. So if it's what charges him up and gets him ready to play, by all means, you know, and he'll just have to, you know, see what happens as far as his play and whether it was a distraction. But, you know, I don't begrudge players for wanting to get back to some semblance of normalcy and get on a trip or something if if he can, you know, look, today with the amount of money these guys make, I mean, they charter planes, you could sleep business class, first class on planes is, you know, ridiculous. These beds and televisions and, you know, it's like, you know, it's not, you know, the TWA flight and coach that it was when you went overseas now. So it doesn't affect me at all that I would think he would be any less Travis Kelce than he would be if he stayed at home in Kansas City and, you know, played Scrabble for 6 days.
Say, Joe, totally agree. I was talking about this with my family at first. I'm like, when I saw this news, I'm like, geez, you know, he's had a with the injuries and stuff, he's had a tough start of the season. He needs to rest and recover. But then exactly what you said, I thought about, you know, it'd be tough for me if I was going to Argentina, but I'm sure he's, you know, he makes enough money. He's flying private, or if not, Taylor can certainly send him on her plane. So, yeah, I mean, that's, and not that I know Travis, I've interviewed him, a handful of times. So, you know, but I obviously don't know him, but I get some tendencies. He does seem like a guy who that's some people. If he was on his bye week, I don't think he's like just turning the TV off at 10:30 and going to sleep anyhow. He gets, like you said, he gets recharged by having fun. He seems like an extroverted personality. So I think this is actually a good thing, you know, the good thing for him. This is how he's got on wine. This is, you know, and yeah. It would be grueling, like you said, if it was a TWA coach flight. But if you're flying private to South America, I think that might be the perfect thing for him for the rest of the season here. So,
well, Jeff, Derek Thomas, I mean, was a classic example. You know, they nicknamed him the social director of the NFL. And I don't think in the time that I knew him, there was a Monday night game that he missed. Wow. I mean, you know, Tuesdays were our day off. And, you know, Coach Schottenheimer would, you know, we'd go in for, film on Monday. We'd have a workout. We'd do our treatment. We'd do our things. And Derek would follow every protocol, never missed anything. He was an unbelievable teammate from that perspective. But you know what he loved to do? He loved to go to Monday night football games. So he would hop on a plane, however he could get there. And he generally made it there by, I think, halftime for most games. And he would visit with players that he knew on the team. He would sometimes be on the sideline. You'd see him. And Derek loved going to Monday night football games. And that's how he got his energy. And he came back on Wednesday for practice. Nobody wanted to go against Derek Thomas ever in practice or in the game because he just brought it every day. But you know what? That's what recharged him. And that's what made him who he was. So, I even had the opportunity to experience a player who gets that kind of energy from that kind of stuff. So, you know, more power to him if that's what floats his boat.
Great insight there, Joe. Joe, I'm curious, this game, such a huge game. Give me kind of a matchup to watch and also kind of your prediction of score and how this game unfolds.
Yeah, I mean, I think let's talk about this Chiefs defense, right? We spend so much time talking about this offense, right? Travis, right. Patrick, and I'm telling you, this defense is playing at a super high level right now. And the maturation at the running or at the linebacker position, the maturation at the defensive back in the defensive backfield. I mean, let's talk about this defense because they are playing at a super high level right now. Steve Spagnuolo has all the right players in all the right spots. The Drew Tranquil, I know I keep beating this one up, but Drew Tranquil, what a pickup this offseason. You know, nobody would have foresaw Nick Bolton, you know, being out. Trent McDuffie's having an unbelievable sophomore year. Like, I'm really excited about this defense. So with that said, segue into the matchup, I think it's the Chiefs' entire defense against Antonio Brown and Jalen Hurts. I mean, A.J. Brown, sorry. I think for me, that's the matchup that I'm going to be watching. You know, of course, my eyes are going to get drawn to the offensive line. I'm going to want to see what's going on from a protection perspective. But, you know, Jalen Hurts is very elusive. And so I think they've got to keep him in the pocket. And we've got to see how this defensive backfield and linebacking core, when they're covering and passes, how they can get good enough drops to cover A.J. Brown, because I think that to me is he will be the secret sauce for this game. I think if Jalen is a little bit banged up like we think he might be, and he's going to be sitting back in the pocket. He's going to be looking to either hand the ball off to DeAndre Swift, or he's going to be looking to try to make A.J. Brown make some big plays. And I think if they can shut A.J. Brown down, if Jalen is a little bit banged up, it's going to limit what he can do in the RPO. And then the Chiefs defense kind of comes away, you know, with a one side victory from a defensive perspective.
Joe, great points there. And just to piggyback on what you said, you know, that I really think A.J. Brown's going to be interesting. Chiefs defense has been so good, like you pointed out. Trent McDuffie, another guy I want to mention, is L'Jarius Sneed. Those corners have been so good. It allows Coach Spags to then just unleash these exotic blitzes because he doesn't have to worry about the guys in coverage. He doesn't have to – he can leave those guys alone. But I'm really curious. Sneed has been amazing this year. He really helped shut down Tyreek Hill, or at least limit, you know, what was – who entered the game, who is still the ranks of the NFL as, you know, in yardage, in touchdowns, as the – right now he's number one in those categories. He also limited Justin Jefferson, Garrett Wilson. But A.J. Brown – so L'Jarius Sneed is a big, long corner. He likes to press and be physical. I don't know if he's faced – a receiver this season is big as physical as A.J. Brown. So I want to look at that. How does, you know, is he as successful as with his jams and stuff against a guy like Brown? Joe, I also want to look at the offensive line for the Chiefs versus the Eagles. That was such a big deal, the Super Bowl, you know, this really good defensive line that brought so much pressure. The Eagles and the Chiefs held them to zero sacks. You know, they had the T-shirts printed on. There was all this, you know, it led to all this offseason talk. Well, maybe it was the turf that slowed down the pass rush of the Eagles as much as the Chiefs offensive line. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that matchup this for the sequel unfolds. Joe, I'm going back and forth on this. I've been waffling all day. I'm tempted to go Eagles by a point, by 3 points, just because I think the Chiefs are going to, like, I still think they're going to get the number one seed, but I think they're going to lose a game or two here or there. And I think this is a tough one. I think the Eagles might have that extra motivation, good Super Bowl after that Super Bowl loss, but it's really a pick 'em. And I think I want to lean more into, since you're such an expert on both teams, how you see this game, who you see winning this game.
Yeah, well, that was my, you know, when we flipped over to the other side of the ball, that was going to be my matchup to watch was the O-line versus the D-line, the Eagles D-line versus the Chiefs O-line. I think they are so deep and so good, and they just come at you from all angles with, you know, any one of their defensive players, you know, can rush the passer. Even those two big, enormous defensive tackles from Georgia, Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, and then you throw in the very wily veteran Fletcher Cox. And then you got Brandon Graham and Josh Sweat on the outside. Like, any one of them, team would be happy to have as a pass rusher. And they've got like five or six of them.
Yeah.
And they rotate them. And that is you know, going to give the Chiefs fits. Now, you know, Patrick, with eyes on the back of his head and his ability to have the game slow down, I feel comfortable that he'll be able to do that. The problem is that he doesn't have that A.J. Brown-type receiver, you know, to find that big guy, you know, that's going to, you know, do the back shoulder throws, you know, other than Travis, of course, right? I can't dismiss Travis Kelce, but Travis is, you know, he's a tight end. He's not A.J. Brown, and he's not Tyreek Hill. Who can, you know, dart across the field and spread out a defense horizontally. So that's, I think if the Chiefs offensive line can do their work against this vaunted defensive line, I think it gives Patrick the best shot at being successful and using what he's got when it comes to this wide receiving core, because we know that this wide receiving core is you know, look, they're all very good players, but they're not, you know, it's a cast of, you know, and I mean this in no critical means, it's a cast of, you know, when you look at the whole bell curve of the NFL of receivers, it's a cast of B to B plus receivers, right? I mean, it's and I again, I'm not being critical of them because they're all very good in their own right, but it's just going to be interesting to see if Patrick can find them. And if they've used this bye week to get some really good timing routes done and to really find their way. This is big for Andy coming out of this bye week. I think if he can find a way to use the playbook in their favor, that could also play to the Chiefs' advantage.
And he's 21-3 or whatever. I believe that's a stat after the bye. He's so good. That's a reason. I think I'm still sticking with my Eagles pick, but geez, it's tough to pick against Reed after a bye. So, Joe, two questions for you. Give me your score prediction. And also, you've seen a lot of the Eagles this year. Are they actually better than they were last year?
I got to admit, Jeff, I think they are. I think they are actually better this year than they were last year. It's just going to be a matter of whether or not the rest of the league is as good or improved the way that they have. I just you go up and down their depth chart, up and down their roster, and they really haven't missed a step anywhere. And that's kind of scary. You know, when you look at their depth chart now, Dallas Goedert is doubtful, so they will lose a little bit there. But the way that they're using DeAndre Swift, Kenneth Gainwell, and Boston Scott, and sort of this little, you know, DeAndre's getting the bulk of the carries, but they seem to run Gainwell at just the right time. You know, without Goedert, if Jalen's a little banged up, I mean, that's what I think gives the Chiefs an advantage. They got to come into Arrowhead. Of course, you're going to get involved in the whole snap count thing. But I do have to say, though, to actually answer your question, Jeff, yes, I think this Eagles team is better than they were last year. It's just a matter of whether everybody else can keep up. And I think in this particular game, given the situation, I think the Chiefs do keep up. I think the Chiefs win this game by 3. It's not going to be by any means a touchdown game in my eyes. I think this is going to be a field goal or less type game, where, you know, you've got the two real powerhouses of the AFC and NFC coming together with two of the better quarterbacks in the league. So, and two great offensive lines, defenses that are playing well. I mean, this is a big matchup. I can't imagine, even if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you got to be wanting to watch this game, right? As much as the Cowboys fans don't like the Eagles, they're going to be watching this game because this is a big one.
Can't wait. Well, if you enjoyed this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Go Chiefs!